That's the way in which, and I teach because I teach because I teach, and I therapize because I therapize because I therapize. I don't therapize to save souls. And I don't teach because I'm concerned about your well-being. Although in the process, something good may happen to you. You know? And at the ego level, I sure hope so. You know? Because it'll create new problems for me. Yes.
In listening to you, which I'm very grateful to be able to do, I've heard you say many times that the Bible is just as good as any other book if we go into it a higher spiritual plane. And I was wondering then, would that also mean that our American English can be just as good as Sanskrit?
Those are not exactly parallel, it's not a parallel analogy for the following reason. That the Bible, I'm talking primarily about the symbology of the Bible, not the sound of it. The symbology of it can be understood at many levels, okay? The quality of Sanskrit, let me, for example, talk for a moment, just to deal with that distinction between English and Sanskrit, talk about music for one moment as a parallel that I think I can work with. Indian music, the rag structure, as you may or may not know, is a set of five notes. And these notes are in various juxtapositions to one another in terms of sequence and in terms of timing and so on. And the musician is actually the composer of the rag within a rough format. He works with those five notes, those specific five notes that are in a certain sequence. And he can do many things with them, but that's all he's doing for the whole time. And he can play a rag for 4 or 5 hours. Now, those five notes are not in a random order at all. In fact, it is so designed by beings who have worked on their consciousness sufficiently to see the way in which, to see the following, that at any moment in time, for example, let's take the rainy season, the winter rainy season in the evening, when one is in a melancholy mood, that at that moment there is a certain kind of psychic space or a certain vibration or a certain kind of state, let's put it just environmental state. He is able to convert that state into a set of five notes which, when you play them, will bring you to harmony with that state. So that he has a set of five notes that are designed for you would play only in the morning on the rainy season in a melancholy mood. Another one you would play only at noon in a melancholy mood in the rainy season. That is, he's got a design down to time and space and mood matrices as to which particular set of five notes is suitable to help you become conscious of that moment, that is, using the here and now, by coming into the here and now totally, meaning coming into the entire vibrations of the universe at that moment. It's part of the same reason of why I tune the tambour of the air conditioner when I'm in a building like this, right? Now, when Sanskrit was evolved as a language of, 54 symbols, I guess, or 50, I think, 54. It was evolved by beings who saw each of these symbols connected with different relations of consciousness. And patterns of symbols put together were put together in order to, when you worked with them, to take you to that level of consciousness. English has all the sounds in it, but it was not designed with that kind of level of consciousness in the designation of the way in which the sequences work together. So that, for example, you can take, there is a mantra that was set up by a Tibetan Lama to understand the West. It's a very interesting one. It's Om Ah Hung, which is Sanskrit words, and that's please, please, sorry, thank you. And then all you say over and over again is Om Ah Hung, please, please, sorry, thank you. Om Ah Hung, please, please, sorry, thank you. And because it has all those excess meanings that we work with in the immense amount of time we say please, sorry, and thank you, and all the over meanings of social roles, it as a mantra takes you through many, many trips. But the highest level of taking you into a vibrational space, it doesn't do, because it wasn't designed with that degree of, that level of performance in itself. Is that dealing with your question?
One more then.
Yes.
Speaking in education, where if you were starting out and you wanted to educate, whether it be egocentric or whatever you want to call it, what area would you work in? As you have your children, adults, teenagers, etc.
You mean if I had my druthers in the field of education at the moment? Free field, anything I want. You know, the last experimental educational experiment I ever did, which was back in before I got thrown out of Harvard, was I introduced karate into the Lexington school system. And I did it not as karate, but as a technique of Eastern exercise. And I did it not because, the way I did it was a little dishonest in the sense that I brought my karate masters in and they showed all the junior high school kids, so everybody volunteered because they all want to learn how to break boards and, you know. And it wasn't for that reason at all. That was their motive for doing it. But I knew that in order to do it optimally, they would have to develop one-pointedness. See? In other words, they were competing against their own inner struggle. They had to bring their mind to one-pointedness to be able to do this. And in the process, they would develop this extraordinary discipline of the mind, which I felt would transfer into all of the other parts of their life. So I was trying to use the physical education program instead of developing more ego trips through competitive sports to try to develop this discipline of mind, which I felt would transfer, because it seems to me that teaching one-pointedness of mind is a very, very important tool or vehicle for using the rational mind and for work on oneself. And therefore, I think I would probably start with very, very early schooling in terms of meditation and so on. The next thing I think is that I learned from my teacher in India something very profound. I was a professor of education and I studied techniques of teaching. And I don't think I had ever seen as pure a case as he showed me that in all the time he taught me, I was never under the impression that he was teaching me anything, because he was teaching me from inside myself. And he was doing that from being a wise man and then turning off the model that he was teaching me anything. So he became so open that he heard where I was, and then working from within my framework, whatever came out of him was my framework moving towards the wisdom that he was, right? That is, one of the things I would do if I were going to teach a child was I would as quickly as possible get out of any model that I was going to teach this child. That is, by hanging out with this child and saying, okay, now what? See? Because I am now under the model that the child already knows everything. And my job on myself is to thin the veils that keep me from knowing it all and to not contribute to increasing the veils that keep him from knowing it all, right? And to help him thin his veil so that what I would be inclined to do, I think, is to sit with a group of people and say, let us start from exactly where we are at. Since all truth is in everything, there is no pre-programmed model in my head that is that vital, including any books, any subjects, any... Because I'm now awed by an interesting phenomenon that I've begun to see, that as some of these young teenagers finish their dropouts from school and their moratorium, and their anti-energies going in anti-things and start to be open in a turned-on way, that they can absorb fields of knowledge in almost as fast as they can hear it fed in, because they are learning it out of a very positive thing of they're ready to hear it and they want to grab it. And they learn it almost in one trial learning. They don't learn it with that kind of resistance of subject-object where somebody's implanting it in them before they're ready to know it. So that I guess timing, you know, readiness to learn becomes a very critical matter, and I think I'm willing to handle a lot more tension of lack of closure of early non-education in the formal sense. Rather than getting kindergarten and pre-kindergarten and getting kids to read earlier and earlier and earlier, running our programs through kids earlier and earlier, I think I would be inclined to surround children with as high a consciousness as I could find. That is, I think I would, first of all, institute a program for teachers to work on themselves.